The Song of Songs, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. This is the word of the Lord. On my bed by night, I sought him whom my soul loves. I sought him, but found him not. I will rise now and go about the city, in the streets and in the squares. I will seek him whom my soul loves. I sought him, but found him not. The watchmen found me as they went about in the city. Have you seen him whom my soul loves? Scarcely had I passed them when I found him whom my soul loves. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her who conceived me. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or the does of the field, that you not stir up or awaken love until it pleases. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, open our ears that we might hear the voice of our beloved. And open our hearts that we might know his love and respond to him in love. We ask in his name. Amen. There is a loneliness that belongs to the night, when the world is covered in the shadow of darkness. And if we are unable to sleep, if we lie in bed wide awake, we may know that loneliness. And the loneliness can be overwhelming, as there is nothing to do but to lie there in that realm without sound and without light. Yes, it is not true that the night is entirely without light. For there is the light of the moon and the light of the stars shining down on us from above. And so it is not uncommon in the stillness and in the quiet of a sleepless night that our thoughts turn upward. And when we see those stars and the vastness of the heavens in which they dwell, a realm that seems to us to have no end, we are reminded of how very small and insignificant we are. And at this point, the loneliness can become so overwhelming that it threatens to crush us with despair. But at that very point, we may then remember that the moon is not merely a cold sphere reflecting light, but is a faithful witness in the skies. and the stars. They are not merely distant flames of fire, but in their burning, they declare the glory of God. And even if we have forgotten this, or even if we have never been told it, still we feel in our souls a longing. We feel in our souls a yearning. We feel in our souls an aching. This longing, this yearning, this aching, it is the desire for God. It is the desire for communion with God. It is the desire that we find expressed by the psalmist in Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. In the loneliness of the night, we long to be near him. We long to behold him in the sanctuary. We long to dwell under the shadow of his wings. Then we would lie down in peace. Then we would find rest. Then we would know the fullness of joy. Is this same desire that we find expressed in the Song of Songs. It is this same desire that we find expressed by the woman at the beginning of the third chapter, where we find her on her bed by night. And there she is alone, but she longs for the one whom she loves. She longs for him to be lying there beside her. She longs for him to be lying there with her. Her longing in the night for the presence of the bridegroom. It is a reflection of our longing in the night for the presence of God. And so we see yet again how marriage, how this song of songs is an image of the covenant between God and his people. When husband and wife lie together in the night, it is the reflection, it is the image of our desire for communion with God. Yet how often do we lie together in the same bed and feel as though there are thousands of miles between us? How often do we lie there together, yet still feel alone? How often does one lie there, not in peace, but in grief? Not with joy, but with sorrow. Not in safety, but in fear. It is not enough that our bodies lie there together. For the marriage bed was not made only for bodies. It was made also for souls. It is a place where bodies lie together, and it is a place where souls lie together. It is a place where bodies are joined together, and it is a place where souls are joined together. And it is in that communion of body and soul that we find rest and peace and joy. And so we are confronted yet again with that warning, I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or the does of the field, that you not stir up or awaken love until it pleases. As we saw before, so here we see again, we do not stir up or awaken love until we have found one who is worthy to awaken to. One who will make the marriage bed a place of rest and not of worry. A place of peace and not of fear. A place of joy and not of grief. A place of freedom and not of slavery. A man takes the name of his Lord in vain when he makes the marriage bed a place God has not intended it to be. It is meant to be that place where we give ourselves in love and where we receive that gift in love. A gift that is never meant to be taken. A gift that is to be given and received. For when it is given, it is not taken. You see, it is a place of grace. And those who dwell there, those who lie there, they are called to dwell together in grace. They are called to lie together in grace. But here at the beginning of this third chapter of the Song of Songs, the bride does not yet know this joy. She does not here lie with the bridegroom. She lies alone. And she longs for him. She seeks him whom her soul loves. She seeks him, but finds him not. And now she will have no rest. She will have no rest until she finds him. She will have no peace until she holds him. And so she rises up in the night. She leaves her house and she goes about the city. She searches through the streets for the one whom she loves. She seeks him there, but finds him not. What does she find? She finds the watchman of the city. But rather, they find her as they go about the city. And why are there watchmen in the city? Except that the city is a place of danger in the night. It is a place that requires watching in the night. In the night, the city is not safe. Yet see, the woman does not fear this danger more than she fears the absence of the one whom she loves. She exposes herself to danger for the sake of love. See how vulnerable she is, seeking this one whom she loves until she finds him. How could she not then warn the daughters of Jerusalem that they not stir up or awaken love until it pleases? For what will become of her? What will become of the woman who has thus made herself so very vulnerable? If the one whom her soul loves is not a place of refuge, but a place of terror. But see, here it is not so. For this one whom she loves, this one whom she seeks, he is not a place of terror. He is a place of rest. His shadow is a place of joy. His embrace is a place of peace. She endangers herself for him. She makes herself vulnerable for him. But now, at last, she finds him. She holds him and refuses to let go. For now she is safe. Now she is secure. She holds him and will not let him go until she has brought him into her mother's house, until she has brought him into the chamber of the one who conceived her. Now, this may seem strange to us. It may sound strange to us that she would desire to bring him into her mother's house, to draw him into her mother's chamber. But it is less strange if we keep in mind the importance of the mother's place in the Song of Songs. We see that place very clearly at the end of chapter 3. We see it very clearly on the day of King Solomon's wedding. In chapter 3, verse 11, we find it is his mother who crowns him on the day of his wedding with the crown of his glory and joy. As in the book of Ruth, Naomi tells her daughters-in-law, after the death of her sons, after the death of their husbands, she tells them to go, to return where? To return each to her mother's house. And in Genesis chapter 24, it is into the tent of his mother that Isaac brings Rebekah. It is there that she becomes his wife. We see then, not only here in the Song of Songs, but throughout Scripture, the importance of the mother's place in this song of love. But why does she have this place of importance? Why does she hold this place of importance? It makes sense that the mother and her chamber would be this place of love. It makes sense because the womb is at the center of both birth and of marriage. The womb is the place from which we leave our mother. And the womb is the place to which a man draws near to his wife. It is her womb that a woman opens to her husband. It is the place of birth, and it is the place of marriage. It is the place we are born, and it is the place we are conceived. Above all other places in this world, the womb of a woman is a place of love. It is the place of love. It is why violence against the woman and against her womb is so heinous. For her womb is a sacred place. Her womb is a most holy place. And if we should doubt this, we see that it is so, for in the fullness of time, it was the place that our Lord chose to dwell. It was the place that our Lord was pleased to dwell, being conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And so this Song of Songs, it is not only the song of our soul's desire for God, it is the song of our desire for the Word made flesh. Our desire for this one who took to himself our flesh, that we might become one flesh with him. This longing in the night for God, it is the longing for Christ, the one who is our Lord. This desire that is spoken of here, this desire that is sung here, it is a desire that can only be fulfilled in him. It is a desire that can only be satisfied in him by our finding him and holding him and not letting go of him until we have brought him into our mother's house, until we have brought him into the chamber of her who conceived us. The song that is here sung, we hear it again in the New Testament. We hear it near the end of John's Gospel. In John chapter 20, we read of Mary Magdalene. We read of her rising early on the first day of the week. And we are told not only that she rose early, but that she came to the tomb while it was still dark. Why did she come while it was still dark? Because on her bed by night, she sought him who her soul loved. She sought him, but found him not. And so she rises and goes about the city, until she comes to the tomb, but even there, she does not find him. And so there she stands and weeps, still searching for the one she loves. And then two angels appear. And they say to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she says, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where he is." We hear in her words the words of the woman to the watchman of the city. "Have you seen him? Have you seen him whom my soul loves?" And scarcely has she said this when she turns and she sees him whom her soul loves. She sees him and she hears his voice as he calls her name, Mary. And now she holds him and would not let him go. But he says to her, "Do not cling to me." But see, he did not say this because it was wrong for her to cling to him. He said this because it was his purpose to give himself to her in a way that he could not until he had ascended to the Father. For it was from there that he would pour out his spirit upon her. And then she might cling to him in the house of her mother. Then she might hold him in the chamber of her who has conceived us all. And who is our mother? She is the church. As the Lord was conceived by the Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary, so we are conceived by the Spirit in the womb of the church. And here in her house, here in the chamber of her who has conceived us, our Lord gives himself to us. Here he invites us to cling to him, to hold him, and never let go. For here he says to us, "Take. This is my body given for you." Here he assures us that we are not alone, that he will never leave us or forsake us, that we are his and he is ours. Here he asks us, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And here he bids us, "Weep no more." Let us then here seek him whom our soul loves. For here, though we do not see him, here he may be found. And what we now hold by faith, Know for certain that one day soon we will hold it by sight in the glorious chamber of our mother in the heavenly Jerusalem. At last, when the day breathes and all the shadows flee, in the womb of that morning that is without end. Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, woman, let us wait for it with patience. Amen.